one spraying the house, and he just sprayed the walls, the curtains, and things like that, you know. And that's the only, and that would, they'd have to light on it for it doing any good.
Well, talking about putting it on the floor, anything has to get on the floor to get some water or something like that.
Yeah.
You can spray the walls and get them.
Yeah.
But when it's on the floor, they got to get to some water, and they'll come down off the walls onto the floor.
Yeah.
After. But that's why I got to put in that.
Exterminate. I ought to remember that pretty easy.
They fixed up some in water and sprayed a bush around. He has full old hairy worms like that, and it just ate that bush up.
Yeah.
And fell, sprayed it, and I mean, they just, everyone fell right down on the ground.
I put a teaspoonful in one of his old spray guns.
Oh, really?
And I sprayed it, and it killed every one of them.
Gosh, I'll read that a little bit more.
Boy, that's
is. That's powerful stuff,
right? Oh, yeah. It's not kosher.
Well, $1.95, I think it is, for that little bottle.
Yeah, I'd say that's right cost.
Well, shoot, think about how much it makes.
I think
that's
supposed to make 50 gallons, ain't it?
Something like that.
No, maybe 5 gallons. I don't know.
Well, it'll tell you when you have them, how to do it, but I mean, it beats paying $15 to have one of them men from town out there to spray for roaches.
You all been up to Georgia?
Yeah, I went to Kingston, Georgia. Bell didn't go. He went to Jacksonville.
Oh, you all went to Jacksonville, and you went on up.
Uh-huh, up to Georgia. And he stayed there before.
I see.
That, see, it's just 35 miles from the town, Jacksonville, where I went. So
You didn't go back up in your country?
No, we want to go up. His aunt's in the hospital up there now with broken ribs. They said she don't think she's going to make it. Says she fell and broke a rib, some ribs. Sometimes pneumonia sets in, you know, and they don't make it. When it's old as she is, she's up around 87, maybe. I don't know just exactly.
Oh, it'd be nice to make a little visit up there before it gets too hot. If you don't.
Well, we thought we would after maybe next week, unless something happens to her that we have to go for then. Do you let Pete drive your car?
I don't have any possessive feelings about that car or any rest of them.
Oh, did you keep your other old car too?
No, I traded that old Rambler in it. The reason I got this was the Rambler was just falling apart and the bearing started knocking and I just couldn't get rid of it fast enough. Still got the old Plymouth.
Mm. You swapped it to Buster?
No, Buster helped me swap it up to Johnny Hip there in town.
I like Buster.
Buster took a liking to that car.
This car here?
Yeah, he wanted it.
Well, you know, he had an inferior there.
He still got it.
And he had another car that he brought off a nurse or something other was leaving here.
He said he don't drive it enough to keep the battery out.
But he's had 3 or 4 different cars up there.
That's a good automobile.
Does yours take a battery, one of them big, huge batteries? That is, a lot of plates in it?
I don't know. They cost me.
That's what
they
I mean.
Cost me,
I asked Smitty what this battery cost. He said it cost $39.
I think that's what we care for right now.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's power steering and everything like that. Power brakes.
Yeah.
I like that.
Well, that's fine as long as it works.
But now, oh, God, don't get out there and try to climb them trees with it and go over them stumps and that back past like you do most of the
time. Well, then
Robert Williams up there is dad-in-law.
Yeah.
Old man Jackson, he had the prettiest cow. He often seen his cow. Phil and I went to see him one Saturday afternoon, and he carried us around over his place, you know, showed us these cows and things. And I got back when we left there, we went to the show. Well, I told Phil, I said, well, we just well to go home. I said, them cows keeps getting on that screen ahead of that picture, and I haven't seen nothing. He said, neither have I. But that was the prettiest thing you ever laid your eyes on those cowboys.
Yeah.
Now, his was fat. They wasn't no poor cows. They was fat cows.
But he just get in his car and strike out across the pasture.
Anywhere he was still wanting to go, there he went.
He'd go across some places that you wouldn't ride a horse.
And
bushes up that high, right on.
Just a regular car?
Yeah, just Chevrolet.
Buick.
He had a Buick. I never seen him do the Buick like that, but he had one of the highest priced Chevrolets, and he went across. Yeah. Mabel asked him, said, "You think you can go across?" "Oh, yeah. My goodness. Right there, stuff like this, that guy had high, going right
on.
Yeah.
I'd have been afraid I'd
have
hit a stump.
I know I'd have hit a stump, or a bullhole.
Well, you know, he's on the other end of the prairie,
yeah.
You know, on the other side, you know, back that way, you know, on the...
I know where that is.
What do you call that place back in there? Out from that cemetery, right on the other side of the cemetery.
Yeah.
There, he owned all that land back there. Yeah.
They.
He is a Buster Mountain's sister married him on his son.
Yeah.
Lovett Jackson, you don't even know him.
Duty.
Her name is, what?
Well, that name, I mean, that's on the order, what they call her.
Duty. Something like that.
Oh, it's on the order, that, but it's a little bit different. But let me tell you something, when we moved to Florida,
Duty.
That was
Duty?
One good looking woman.
Yeah.
Oh, she was pretty.
Yeah.
Now, Lovett married Ms. Denton's sister, Juanita's aunt, Ms. Denton's baby sister, and she died and left the little girl, Edna, Mary Edna, and she died when that child was born, and it was old lady Rawlison out here, Grandma Rawlison's daughter, baby daughter, and they said that was one of the pretty humans you've ever seen. But now they certainly had an ugly husband, both of them. But then he married this mountain girl. And old man Jackson raised that granddaughter. They wouldn't let Levitt have her. And so she lives, I believe she lives in Atlanta. And so she came in for always her part of the Rawlston's estate out there, too. And then when that old man Jackson died, I mean to tell you, she came in a big way in that. She got more, I think, than the rest of them we got. But
yeah.
Old man Jackson idolized that girl.
Yeah.
Wherever he went, that child went.
Yeah.
She had her own horses, and he showed me and Fell a cow that he was, it was hers, that she was, you know, fattening for the show, and she won first prize. But now that was a pretty thing, what he said. He said it cost him about $1,000 for time he said.
Well, Mabel, how would a girl like that ever move off to Atlanta where she wouldn't have any of those things?
Well, she married some man or another, you know. She was living in Atlanta now. I don't know where she's there now.
Yeah.
But she just loved, you know, animals, you know, horses and things that way. She was a pretty girl.
Well, you know, Lovett's got this old place out here at Rochelle.
Well, that's a pretty place, isn't it?
I forget what they call that. That's worth $100,000 or so.
Lovett, you know,
I
started to say, old man Jackson come by here to see us one afternoon. When that thing had just started on his head. Now, he hadn't married then. Remarried, his wife died, and he had it bandaged up, and he told me it started, you know, just like a wart up there, and I thought then that it sounded kind of bad, you know, from what he told, and I kept watching his head was kind of bald, and so that's the last time I seen the old man. He died, I married, and he got sick. And that thing they said when he died, said that thing come down below his chin. You know, that thing had drove that cancer. So it just looked like a bladder of blood. And of course, they'd taken it off at that age and died, you know, to, you know, fix him up. But anyway, Lovett, He stayed up there and tended to everything, and they said old Lovey got well then. You know, he tended all the cows and things like that. Now, all I know about is where his sister was, so they didn't get near the cows that he got. But old Lovey's been, they didn't think that he'd ever mount to a hill of beans while his daddy was living. His daddy, they said, he was just taking care of him.
Yeah.
And they didn't ever think he'd do anything.
Is that right?
But he really come out all right.
Old man Jackson put him on his own with one and give him a bunch of cows and some money, all like that. And they said that he didn't do nothing with it.
Well, his old man Jackson was pretty well to do all the time Lovett was growing up.
Yeah.
And I wish you could have seen that old man ride a horse. That was the prettiest sight you ever seen. He was just like a mare sitting in that saddle. And he was 80 years old when we saw him in that horse show when he fell.
Oh, really?
And he was 80 years old about it. But I'm telling you right now, he was the most graceful thing sitting in the saddle you ever seen. And rode a black stallion.
Is that right?
It's a great big black stallion. Prettiest thing you ever saw. But if he went to cow sale, that granddaughter was there. Wherever you saw old man Jackson, you could know she was right there where he could put his hand on her. Quick as he was that high, he carried her everywhere the world he went.
Oh.
And boy, he worshipped that girl.
Yeah. Well, what do you know?
But it tickled me, your Buster's sister. Well, I went to a shower.
And she never was spoiled.
Not as I know of.
Yeah.
And they was up there, I believe it was when Buster got married. Miss Jackson. And was there and had Mary Edna. And Mary Edna was up yonder about 15, 16 years old then. And Buster's sister was there, was married to Levitt. And somebody came in and, what is that girl woman's name? She says, I want you to meet our daughter. And introduced her as my daughter. Well, Buddy, me and Jackson give her the nicest look you ever seen in your life. I told him anybody would tell that Miss Jackson didn't appreciate that at all because Miss Jackson didn't raise her. And I reckon Miss Jackson thought that was her daughter. But that didn't belong to her. Duty. Isn't that what they call
her? Doty, yeah.
Doty.
Yeah.
But that Doty was a pretty woman. Now, I'm telling you, she was a pretty
She's still girl. Nice looking.
She's nice looking, but nothing like she used to be.
And pretty face.
But well, they say she is
the ugliest man in the world, old.
But they say that she's the
he
one
looks like a wart, don't he?
Has helped him. Say so she rode a horse back and headed cows and penned them and done all of that herself. So she rides right along with him. So down that was
that's
a pusher.
Old man Jackson's wife.
Lovett. Lovett's wife. Lovett Jackson's wife.
Doty? Oh, really?
Well, now that's what they tell me. People have been knowing him and has worked with him.
Yeah.
And so now you can give her credit for part of what Lovett is and what they got. Said because she was a worker.
Well, now, I've been over there a time or two and, you know, and talked to him over the phone a time or two. And I'd rather talk to her than to him. I get more information. And, but I never heard, and she always knows about cattle.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, I'll tell you, you told me Dorothy and Jay Herlon, and they farmed with them one year, raising hay and things that way. In other words, Lovett had helped them pen cows and do things, and they'd help Lovett.
Oh.
And they said that she rode those horses and worked just like he did. Says now she was working. And says you could know that she had helped him get what they've got.
That was when Jay was over there and had a few cows. I reckon he had.
I got to stir up my stuff again.
Cows and they'd have to dip them once a month. And they had a dipping bat over there. They had three horses over there. Had three horses. And they run them damn cows on foot and run them around there. And I was over there one time, and I hit them. And when I got back, I told them, what little damn sense I thought they had. I said, you got three horses out here, just walking around out there doing nothing. And I said, you so tired till you can't hardly move, running them cows over yonder about 2 miles, dipping them and bringing them back. I said, you give out. And I said, the horses out there, I said, they running around out there playing, kicking up the hill. I said, gee, you got damn little sense. They wasn't broke for that. I said, I'd be breaking them every damn month. And I would, too.
Yeah.
Dinko! Stop that!
You know that's the way it is.
I don't know if it ain't.
I'd be darned if I learned anything from them in a long time. They can take it.
And they buried my aunt at a little old station, little old town down there in Poland, Georgia. We used to live there a long time ago. And the first one was buried in that lot. Was my sister. She died in 1901. And that was the first one was buried there. Then the next one was buried there with my granddaddy, my mother's daddy. There was two lots they were joining. And then my uncle. And then my sister's baby and my uncle's baby and my grandmother. I've got a good little mother, father, everything. I've got a good little of people buried there. I've got three uncles buried there. In fact, old uncles I had.
Well, I guess you saw a lot of your old friends.
Yes, I did. And I saw a lot of people that was kin to me that I'd never seen before. I never knew very much about my kin people. And I didn't have none to amount to anything on my daddy's side. I think I had three nephews. And they all was a goody old, and I was, I reckon they all dead. And my daddy had two sisters, was older than he was. So I know both of them, one of them died when she was about 45 years old. She had four children. One girl, three boys. I've seen them, but it's been a long time ago.
Excuse me.
And I had some cousins, second cousins, one thing and another that I'd never seen.
I always liked it in Georgia. I'd love to live up there, but I. Well, I can make a living or not.
Well, I didn't see how in the world I was going to stay in Florida about a year and a half. I just knowed I had to go back to Georgia.
When did you leave up in Georgia?
I left there in 39.
Yeah. But did you come down here then? Or you come
Yeah, I come from Florida in 39. I left Albany in 50 and moved to Brunswick. And I stayed there about a year and moved to Wake Forest and stayed there until 38. And I moved to Kingsland and stayed there about 8-9 months and moved down here in 39.
Mm-hmm. And you moved right in here?
Mm-mm. I moved in there. Old Hester House.
Yeah, but I'm in this neighborhood.
I moved in the old Hester House, and then I moved to Jacksonville, or down below Jacksonville.
Oh, you did?
Bought a track of timber down there from a hut hunting for, say, 5,800 acres. And while I was down there, I built this house up here. I built a barn before I left him.
You'd already bought the place.
Yeah, Mabel bought it about 6 months after we come down here. And I reckon she had it 2-3 months before I knowed anything about it. And she told me one morning, she wanted me to go see her farm. It was a bad looking place. She got two old men up here making open was working for. She was gonna remodel the house. There was a crooked partition. It just went kind of bouncing across the thing, and it, she didn't like it. She's going to tear it all out and fix it like she wanted it, you know. And tearing out that wall up there, they found a bit of these old rat snakes up there. And she put them to tearing it down. And I don't want none of it. Tear it down. If a snake could get in there, she didn't want to get in there herself. And she tore it all down and put that there. And there's a big pile of it. And she gave niggas a whole lot of it to fix the church. And I don't know who all these folks hauled it all. It was good lumber. Kind of like that your house is made out of. You know, that thing I think is sealed with 10 or 12 or something like that.
Yeah.
And
inch boards.
It's good lumber. That's good lumber in that house. Mm-hmm. And what it was in that house, too.
And then you just put this up all new. Didn't even use any of the old lumber.
The only lumber in that house I used was a little bit of ceiling I put overhead in that little house down there in the pasture.
Yeah.
That's the only lumber I ever used there.
Now, when you built the house, did you seal it with the cypress then? That's been there all the time.
Yeah, at the time I built it. You couldn't find that much to build it. And I had to build it out of what I had.
Oh, I see.
And that's the reason it's all cypress paneling. Well, I guess it's a whole lot better than this here pasteboard you buy and put in there. Like this is made out of pasteboard.
Yeah, this is a sturdy house, though, the frame of it.
Yes, it is, because it's stone sheeted with 1x6 and 1x8. And it's put up there, and every piece on it's a brace. It's a good house. It's built good. The lumber in it ain't worth a damn. It's just old common lumber.
Mm-hmm.
But there's very little pine in that house up down there. It's the most old cypress.
Oh, is it?
The floor is fine. And I guess that's about all there is from this time. And like I determined, it's gotten that. The slower subfloor and the floor is pine. Done if the termites didn't get in there and eat up a rug.
What'd you do?
Paul come up there and put, I think, 50 gallons of that stuff under him.
Yeah.
I never seen none since.
No.
But I had to tear out hay for the floor in one of them rooms up there and put it back.
Oh, you did? Which room was that?
The one on the other end in front.
Yeah. That was a bedroom. You had two bedrooms on that side. Two on this side.
I was in Savannah, Georgia. And I was waiting for a telephone call from Brunswick. I had carried a big Mack truckload of 92-foot poles over there. And when I got them over there, they said they didn't want them there. They wanted them up in South Carolina. And I had to talk to the man before I'd carry him any further. Then I had a contract to carry him. And the man that I was hauling them for was this Georgia Creosote Company. And I guess he's the crookedest man in the world. And one couldn't bend much bigger than
I wonder.
I don't need you now.
You've been up to Georgia or not.
I
mean,
I don't need you now. I need you yesterday before yesterday.
What's been?
Well,
you know, you almost looked tired when you pulled in that afternoon.
I was thinking of letting you. See, Friday, I went into the doctor and give me a shot. Then I felt a little bit better and felt I'll never get to see none of his folks on it, something like this, because they're scattered too bad.
Yeah, yeah.
And if something like this happened, they all gather up together.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, if I can possibly make it, I'm going. So I got up Sunday morning and we got ready to went, and then I left all my medicine here.
Uh-oh.
And I
got
up there.
That sound like pee.
And but the chillings is all out here, and you can't think to me this round. So I called the doctor to tell the druggist to give me that, tell the druggist what kind of high blood pressure medicine I was taking, because my head was pounding so.
Oh, yeah.
So we came back Tuesday, and I'm going to tell you, I was sick as a dog right on. Went in my niece's home there, and they got their central heat and air conditioning and all, and my nose began to stop.
Yeah.
And it just got tighter and tighter, and I couldn't breathe out of it, and then this ear stopped up, and nothing I'd done it open. And I evidently didn't have no cold, because my nose never did run. If you got cold, your nose will run some, but it never did run. But I told him it's going to take more than one dying at a time from now on up that video. I go, I'm going to do that job in a wholesale lot next time I go. Oh, that's a fur piece.
You know, when you got high blood or something like that, you just got to have your medicine. Now, Faye has this thyroid,
mm-hmm.
and she has to have those tablets. If she misses them today, tomorrow she just can't live with herself.
Well, you see, I missed them. They got me on thyroid, too.
Yeah.
And I missed them there for 3 or 4 days.
Uh-huh.
And I just had me all messed up.
Say it takes about a grain. You know how much Carl takes? 5 grains a day.
5 grains a day.
Yes. Looks what? Like it burn him out, don't it?
Sure. Why does he have to ask me?
I don't know.
Well, I just say one a day.
Yeah.
was already moved.
Well, I just then felt that. Did you know, you was acquainted with some of them, I know.
Two fast people?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But I'm going to tell you, there's a bunch of folks you ever seen. I don't know how I looked to them. But I'm going to tell you, the last time we seen them were some of the most prettiest folks you ever laid your eyes on, and they all done got old. And I'm going to tell you right now, I could only think it. Seeing them all look like
they did.
Now down here, you see people, they're old, you grow all together, and it doesn't seem like it bothers you. But you go back up there and just slap right in your face and they look like that, it's hard to take.
Yeah, I know.
Now his sister was best with the woman up there.
Yeah.
Now it didn't look like she had aged any. My sister couldn't believe she was 65 years old.
Yeah.
But Bernie said, look old like the rest of them did.
But well, I've seen one of Phil's sisters out there.
Yeah, that was the one. And well, that was Bernie. Yeah. And, well, she wasn't. She looked all right, but I'm telling you, those others were so pitiful. His two old aunts, those old left, man, I declare they look terrible. They're so thin and bent. Always been stout, not in this thin, bent double, just about it.
Oh, I'd love to live up in there.
Betty Jo Shirouse. Was, she's faster now, said her daughter lived in Macon and said she never saw such people in her life as in Macon, so they were the nicest people she ever saw. Said she never seen people like those Georgia folks.
You take on the radio, you see on the television, those news people, and then in the magazines and all, the newspapers, you see, they're always throwing off on Georgia and places like that. They just talk about this integration stuff as if that's the last word, you see. And as far as knowing the people, they don't.
Yeah,
you know
the people. I used to see old man Brummer say that he and his wife used to enjoy going to Georgia so much and stopping so the people were so, you know, nice up there.
I tried several times to get a job or something up in there, but I never did get one.
Well,
you can like other people, and they don't always like you, you know. It don't always work both ways.
I don't imagine that it'd be very much trouble to get a job up there, but I sure would want to live in Atlanta.
I love people.
That's
a lot
too
of folks don't.
No, I didn't try to get a job.
But all Ben's grown so now. Guy even put Phil and I where that we have. You know, the old part of it, we know that part of it.
Yeah.
But shoot, all that then over the part we don't know head.
Guy, did you ever go through
like
Brooks County?
I don't believe I know the county.
Well, that's kind of between Quitman and Moultrie.
Yeah.
In there. That's pretty far in the country I ever seen.
Yeah.
It is beautiful. And those roses in Thomasville is beautiful.
Yeah.
All out, you know, on the sidewalks, by the sidewalk, and the roads, and things like that, and see fences like that, these running roses and them blooming. That's a pretty sight.
That's what I get sort of ashamed of myself sometimes. I could have a fence or roses, things like that, you know, it'd be pretty, but I don't think it is. That looks pretty out there in front of your house.
Pretty, but they had a cemetery up there, two sides of it was that cyclone fence, and it had those roses on it when you saw them coming by.
Well, that's one thing about the old cemeteries, a lot of them had pretty flowers in them, planted them.
I reckon for 25 or 30 years they had that rose festival there every year.
How far was that?
They've had it 35 years.
Yes, Thomasville.
At Thomasville every year. They have it in May, I think it is.
How far is that from you?
Oh, it's about, it's 70 miles from Albany. We came back through that.
Mm-hmm.
I got an uncle that worked for the city of Thomasville 50 years.
Oh.
And then that's one of his aunts that's living.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, it looks bad and feeble.
She's the baby. She's 80 years old.
Yeah. Well, that's doing mighty well.
Aunt Day, the one that died, she was a Methodist preacher's widow. He died in 34.
Oh.
And, of course, now, I didn't know nothing about how they run anything, nothing like that. And I said, Aunt Day's the insurance. Now, Uncle Gene wrote insurance because I was preaching. He wrote insurance. And said that she never spent a dime of the insurance that he left her. She had that up on in savings.
Oh.
Said she never spent a dime of it. And she had, she got money from the Spanish-American War when it fell. Pension from that, and then at the Methodist Conference Center, a check a month, and then twice a year, that they make up money twice a year for the preachers, widows, and I reckon retired preachers too, and twice a year that they make up this money, and then they divide it, you know, and send each one equally the same amount, and says that's done twice a year. And says that that give them around close to $250 to $300 a year. You know, twice a year.
Yeah, she didn't spend much.
And that's besides, you know, that other money she got a month, and that other says she hadn't spent that. So she didn't have no insurance, so that goes to, you know, her two sisters.
Wait, who did she live with?
She lived with Amy. She did live with Aunt Hattie for 28 years, but then she went to Auburn and was living with Aunt Lena when she died. In other words, her and Aunt Lena had an apartment together. Now, I don't know which was which.
Yeah.
Which owned the,
yeah.
I mean, responsible for the apartment, but they stayed together.
Well, they didn't have to have an automobile and run all over the countryside.
Well, Lena used to drive, didn't she, Bill?
But she wouldn't. She did
I
drive
did, but
a little
she was
bit.
Too old.
I don't think so, Mabel.
They didn't have any high-priced
automobile
habit.
Like the rest of them. And my niece's husband has had the heart attack. He's an engineer. And... he's better, but he's not out of the woods with no means. I told him when I left, I says, all right, honey, if they don't treat you right, you just let me know and Aunt Mabel come get you. He said, well, they damn sure not treating you right now. I says, you just would have kept your own mouth. His wife said, yeah, of course, he wasn't eating like he'd been eating. They had to cut out his food. And Lord loves to eat, and I mean, good food, too.
Yeah, and
but
they have pretty good food.
And he's in there. And he makes good money, and they ain't good too. And his wife's an excellent cook.
Wonder what they have that's good. It's changed so much, you know. I don't know what people have much.
Well, but she and Mom, we had a good cook, and they use a lot of cheese in different things, though. He likes the macaroni cheese,
yeah.
And then you can take squashes and put cheese in it, and you never know that.
Yeah.
But anything that's got cheese in it, Lord likes. But all that's cut out, man. He can't do nothing on that, no. If he has cakes, he's got to be made without eggs.
Oh.
And bread, he can have one egg every day.
Yeah.
That's all he can have. So it's all that good groceries cut out, so no wonder he says he's not treated right.
Yeah.
Raphael, did you tell him what Arthur done for you?
No.
That we knew him when he wasn't a millionaire. He's a millionaire now. But we knew him when he wasn't.
Now, who is Arthur?
Arthur Tyson. In other words, guy, that scammer has got it made.
Well, how is he connected with film?
Yes, friend.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
He loves us.
Oh, yes. I've heard you talk about him.
Well, he loves us as good as he can love
well,
anybody.
Tell me about it.
But he heard me slayer. And I mean Monday morning, by the crack of daylight, he told us. Warned us his house Monday night for dinner. And one of my sisters to come with us.
Yeah.
So I almost had to fight with her to make her go. So after the funeral, we went on over that at Arthur's. And in the backyard, he's got this huge place built out there just for cooking outside. He's got an old-fashioned range stove, wood stove, you know, and cooking. He's got a sink, got hot water and everything out there.
Yeah.
He's got a barbecuing pit.
Yeah.
And, in other words, it's fixed up in the quickest rule store. You never lay your eyes on that bike.
Yeah.
So, Phil and I, and my sister Ruby, we went over. Didn't know nobody else was there. And it was 10 women, wasn't it? There besides the men. And the men was doing the cooking, and they was cooking fish.
Yeah.
And they got through cooking that fish and the hush puppies. They take this white side meat and slice it and fried it in that grease. And you know people ate that whole white side meat better than they did fish. But now he had all these people that Phil and I had known up there. But now they had done got old and ugly too now.
Well, let me tell you, old enough.
You know one of these here Quonset huts made out of the round tin?
Yeah.
That's what it is. And he taken one side of it off and screened that and put a concrete floor in it, and that's what it is.
I see.
But he said he had bed as high as 500 people out there, but now nobody would ever thought about going around there and getting up those people that was friends of ours when we was up there.
Yeah.
But he had them there so they could see Phil and I. Now they knew who we were. They coming in speaking to us, well, I didn't no more know. They told me who they was. I remember them. But they didn't look like the last time I saw them.
Well, you know, that old white bacon and you know, like that, I feel like I could just sit and eat that half a day and never get
enough. I know, sweet potato and it's baked and it just served it.
Yes.
And that white side meat, now that's the good thing about me, isn't
it? Yes. All you need is just plenty of it.
If he cooks, he goes off, and that's the first thing he do is stop at some store and buy him a slab of that white meat.
Yeah.
And you know them there cafes up there where he eats breakfast every morning. He gets up and eats breakfast down at the cafe every morning.
Yeah.
They got that white side meat for him.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
But now he's got plenty of money.
Yeah.
But he's different from most folks you see. He's got it. He don't cater to them big dogs.
Yeah.
He caters to some of them.
Yeah.
I mean, goes into politics a good deal. But I mean the people that he knows, he's been knowing for years and years, it's down and out and poor.
Yeah.
And all like
still
that.
Still knows them.
He and his one old boy up there, old Randolph Barber, he had a hard time all that poor boy's life. And he's got TV now and in a sanitarium. And you know that Arthur goes to see him with religious.
You know what? I'm not the experience of except that they always got out.
I remember in the hall getting out of there. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I never been used
and
to what I am
at that is 40 hall.
I was tickled all afternoon. Oh, shoot. I didn't quite get the picture that Frank was telling
you. He had some hogs down there.
Yeah.
And he said they'd just go on the fence.
Well he said
it. Down there and look at it. Well, he's taking the pole now. He just take the pole and laid down there where there was a hole. The hog didn't have to do nothing for Luke to think out of the way and go under there.
Yeah.
The stupidest thing you ever seen a white man do.
It seemed to me like he said he had I got the idea that he had lapped the fence down over. You see, it's come like this, and then he just lapped it down all the way, and the hog come up there and got his nose under that and just went on out. And then they saw one of them do it, and the rest of it followed. Now, that's the picture I got in my.
Well, anybody got a hint as good a post it is and that what he was talking about.
Yeah.
I know if they knew how to do anything in the world, they could fix the fence where the hog couldn't get out.
Let me tell you, Phil, I never have really tried to keep hogs in. They always get out is when I see them. But I can't remember that if the fence is up, that they get under it. They don't root under the fence like a mole or anything.
Well, I have had where the fence was not very tight, and the posts were about 18, 20 feet apart.
Yeah.
I put out a short post like that and nailed the bottom to it. I've done that.
Yeah.
To keep them in.
Yeah.
But I've had a whole lot of hogs in my life. And
some dirty ones.
I kept them where I wanted them. I sure did. You can't keep them where you want him. Why, that just don't make sense.
I don't know why Freddie has so much trouble with his hogs over there. They're always getting out.
Well, they ain't got no fence. You go look at the fence, you know why. We don't have no fence over there.
If you just go around that place and see the fences that they've got, and the stuff they got there that just ain't no good.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that they can patch up there, maybe wait 5 minutes, why, maybe that'll last a month or something like that, in the place of fixing it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, boy, them there regular watchers. So they do just exactly what they got to do.
Think it like Bruce Boyle's in here. He got a hole in the fence, he'd go cut some brush and put it in the hole.
Yeah.
When the brush dies, the hole's still there.
Yeah.
That's
where
he fixed it.
Yeah. I've piled brush up like that.
And when the leaves fell off of it, was the hole was there.
I never had much luck with that brush, filling it up with brush. I've done it.
What he done it good. But Dr. Racker stopped to talk to him one time and he wouldn't talk to him.
Scared?
No, he wasn't scared of nothing. But he just didn't talk to him. He said Dr. Racker didn't have nothing to do with him.
Oh.
And if he wanted him to do anything, he could tell me and I could tell him. You know, he told me flatly to fire that nigga. I told him, why, no. I said, I said, I've never fired anybody in my life that I didn't have a cause to do it. If I said, if I fired him, I wouldn't have a cause, only you said to. And I said, I won't do that. He never did tell me to fire another one. I reckon the fella Bracken, he was supposed to be over me too. And he told me a half dozen times fine, but finally I told him to go to hell. That I was running that part up then. I didn't need none of his damn advice.
What do you say, maybe?
Danny, I always told him one time.
Yeah.
So
we take your knife and
tell
me a
truth. Said
another word to him.
Yeah, good sharp
knife. You know that was kind of surprising at least. I was at home putting a siding on that house, and I taken the 3 weeks was coming. And he was supposed to take my place when I left, and then when I was taking my vacation, he was supposed to take me. Just before school started, ready to start, I went back up there and he had taken my help and went down and got all the rest of them folks fixed up and all that. And I have never seen such a mess in my life and had 4 days to get it cleaned up. I couldn't do it.
You can't do that fast.
I didn't say a word in the world. I didn't open my mouth to him about it. About the third day, I even had some of the maintenance men trying to get it where it would be presentable. It wasn't clean, but I was doing the best I could with all I had. And he come in there and said something about it don't look like you're going to be ready to school to start or something like that. Son, that was more than I could take. I never cussed as much in 5 minutes in my life. And he went on up to office. And Kit Herring, you know her?
Never run across
her. She wakes up there in the office. And she called me. She said, Mr. Pat said, what in the world have you done? I told her, I said, Kit, I ain't done nothing. What's the matter? He said, if you done half what Mr. Bracken tells Dr. Racker you done, he says, you done plenty. I said, well, I done it all. I said, I done it all. And she said, well, I said, she said, I'll be seeing you up here not pretty soon. I said, I imagine so. You know, he never said one word to me. Or nobody else.
Is that right?
You know, I was mad.
I know they better do it.
And I had a $7 knife, and it gets a sharp as a razor. And I threatened to cut his throat, and I'd have done it too. He had to cut out of that like a hurry.
Well, Phil, what are you doing with a $7 knife? I never saw a $7 knife.
You don't step in that grease or nothing.
Is that a $7 knife? Is that the one you had?
Right new.
Is that right?
That's a stainless steel case knife.
Yeah, it'll take an edge.
It ain't very much. I've seen a whole lot there.
You know, back on the yet 50 years ago, my dad gave $4 and $5 for a knife. But now he had one all the time in Shreveport. He didn't carry no gun, but buddy, he had a knife.
Yeah.
And you sure better not mess with him with it either, because he sure was a knife. He sure was.
Was he out a lot?
Huh?
Was he out in the country a lot?
Well, he fooled with lots of people, but my daddy was loved and liked by everybody. He didn't mess with him.
Yeah.
But he wasn't scared of him.
Yeah.
Buddy, and if he fooled with him, if you got him mad now, he'd do that knife.
Yeah. Well, that sure surprised me. I looked every day for.
Well, when you got
Racker, it. You know how he talks. He just is soft and easy. Mr. Patterson, when you have time, I wish you'd come up here. I want to see you. Like that, but he never said nothing.
Well, you know, when you're dealing with a whole lot of people and a lot of them sort of rough now and then, I guess you ought to have some little protection on you, shouldn't you?
Well, all my people was like that.
Even though you're not expecting trouble.
They carried a knife, the men folks, they carried knives or chairs.
A knife for that purpose. I can do without my britches about as good as I can my knife. I've always had one, and I miss it worse than anything. I loaned it to them kids up there last week, and they kept it for 3-4 days.
Yeah.
And I was feeling for my knife
all the time. Well, you know, I got that old dollar knife I buy down Fred's. And if I leave it at night, I leave it on the table, you see. and if I don't have that in my pocket, I almost have to go back in there and get it. I just feel like I'll get out there in the field or shed somewhere where right quick I'll need it, you know. I never need it like that.
I never seen my nobody.
I don't guess there's a day for what I don't use my knife for something.
I never known my daddy but twice that offered to use a gun. I mean his knife. And as a man was moving out of one of his houses, wouldn't pay his rent, and he just had his thing stopped. And in Georgia, you sell the pillow out from under your head for rent.
Yeah.
And he just stopped it. And old man Gore had his paid for it to finish moving. And he was gonna kill my daddy.
Yeah.
Gore told it around everybody he's gonna kill. And so Papa didn't want trouble with him. He went on for several weeks. And if Papa was going down the street on one side of the street, that old boy drove forward, get behind the car. So one day he got put on the street back to Papa. And Papa always kept him a little wet about a rock about like that. He just pulled his knife out and began to shock me. And somebody said, P.S., looks like to me you're looking for trouble, Papa. I said, no, but it looks like you're about to catch up with me. And he reached back and grabbed that man, grabbed daddy, and he run like a don't know what. And he never followed my daddy no more. If Papa ever got his hand on him, he'd have. I didn't tell him what he'd have done to him, but he said he reached for old Gore lit out.
You know Dr. Rackman, don't you?
Phil, I've known of him. I've heard you talk about him and other people over there, but as far as I know, I never laid eyes on him.
I think he's a mighty fine man.
Yeah, I understand. Now, he changed jobs. He's not doing that now.
What?
Dr. Rackman?
He's not housing director?
Yeah.
He's not?
He's not?
Yeah.
Is he still the house?
He was away 4 years. 2 years
yeah.
In service and 2 years in college.
Yeah.
Yeah, I imagine he'll be there. And I think a lot of his wife, too. She went to school there. She graduated from the University of Florida. I don't think she's a very pretty woman, but I like her very much.
Mm-hmm. I saw your neighbor yesterday. I stopped on the way up here, I guess, and he's putting in one of them big plastic pipes to drain his sink.
Yep.
Yeah. And that little boy, he's talking to this little child I ever saw. And if you're not looking at him, he'll take over your face and turn it around the way you see. And granddaddy said he couldn't hardly get out of a morning, but the little boy was right there on his heels all the time. I think a man would get tired, get enough of that, you know.
So,
he looks good.
Yeah, he's looking better, I think.
He looks good.
But he's awful nervous. But that goes with
you know
blood pressure.
That Miss Pastor wake me this morning.
She did.
She had me to vacuum all in my rooms out, move the beds and clean the baseboards and vacuum all the rugs in there.
Yeah.
All like that.
Yeah.
And then scrub and wax the kitchen and the back porch.
Good gosh almighty.
she waked me hard this morning.
Did you put some of Fred's lotion in your floor polish?
Yes,
we don't see a
I haven't seen a I haven't seen a
roof. You know, I've been laying off to ask Fred, and I can't think about it when I'm down there, why he sells all that old high-priced mosquito spray when he could get a little of that old DDT, you know, and people wouldn't buy a quarter's worth and last them all summer. And he knows about that. I'm going to ask him about that.
Now, he don't care the stuff I get from him. He gets it from me, though.
Yeah. Well, I bet he don't
need in that DDT. I got plenty.
Well, I don't think I'll need any more, Phil. That $1.59 worth. I bought.
Do y'all have any roaches over there?
I have to spray now and then.
Well, if you and you clean, scrub your kitchen out, you wax it, put some of that stuff in it,
I'll tell Faye about it. I told her about it, you know.
Sure do it best with that little old bitty German roach we see.
And I also told her what you said about how to fry eggs in the bacon, and she thought she understood it, but she said she'd just check with you just to be sure I got it straight.
Well, in other words, Phil didn't like no boiled egg for breakfast, and he didn't like no poached egg.
What else is that but a poached egg?
Well, he didn't like it whenever you put it in there the other way. And I found out I could cook it like that, you know.
And give a little flavor to it.
It gives a little flavor.
And you did that, you worked that out yourself.
Yeah, and it don't hurt.
Yeah.
This another pan is greasy.
Yeah. Let me tell you, I was over there at Johanna's service station. And, you know, Miss Tillman is running it now. And Rufus, her husband. And I didn't know she's hard of hearing. I'd speak to her now and then, she wouldn't say nothing, but I found out she's hard of hearing. They'd been picking beans, and Rufus had just taken some to the packing house. And they had some there, and she said to him that that was her beans. She had some of them little thin ones. I guess you'd call them bunch beans. And she had them in the refrigerator there, just saying, she said she picked them herself, because the man who took care of the place out there, he wouldn't pick them early enough. He'd wait a little late and it'd be a little tougher. Wouldn't be quite as fresh. Mm-hmm. So Rufus had found them in the refrigerator and brought them out there and sold some of them. And so that's the reason I got to thinking about the beans. And they had the big, long pole beans, too. And they look fair, but not extra. Now, Bessie Jackson, is just foolish about them beans. She likes a bunch of beans. If she's over there to pick them out, she'd pick out good ones, you know, but I'm not much good at picking them out. Now, how would you go about, how would you go about getting some good ones?
Well, I'd go to the packing house pick out some, and I want those real tender looking. Little, too. You know, to get them up there big as a sound.
Yeah.
Old man,
of course, running butter beans, you can get them pretty big.
Yeah.
Old man, how long ago was there? And he'd stand there and pick them beans out one at a time.
Yeah.
And on an average, he'd take one out of three.
Yeah.
Now, I know it stays about an hour picking out of them, but that isn't right.
No, the other person comes up then don't have that change.
Yeah. When I get anything, I just...
Well, now, you don't buy fresh beans. You've got them already in your
I've got them in the freezer. But I'd like to buy about a half or two put up.
Now?
Yeah.
Well, they were selling... He said the pole beans were selling at 3.5 now. And he didn't think they'd hold up because the beans is coming in now.
No, they're...